TSA at least has a portfolio of buildings that are 30% better in terms of energy consumption than they were in 1985. And we managed to reduce that. The government as a whole reduced slightly less. So we've been doing that since basically the first energy crisis in the 70s. So that makes these new requirements all the more stringent, because if you compare GSA's buildings with the average private sector buildings as measured by the Department of Energy, we're already just under 30% better than the private sector.
And you must be getting a lot to, I mean, it's great that you're getting all the attention now and a lot of focus now and people wanting you to improve more, better, faster. But it also has to come, you can only get so much done so quickly. Tell us sort of where things stand right now with getting all the attention on improving energy efficiency of government buildings.
Well, I guess what it really goes to say is that even though we've improved by 30%, there's still a lot that can be done. In the last 30 years, a lot of technologies have changed. When we did the lighting retrofix of the early 90s, we thought, we fixed that. And the amount of energy savings that we achieved in the 90s with a modern intelligent lighting system of today's technology, we can save the same amount of energy all over again, another 30%. So there's a considerable amount more to do in the federal buildings. And of course, there has been a dearth of money to invest in existing infrastructure,
right.
And this is true across the infrastructure of the country, not just in federal buildings.
Well, and I know that GSA out in Denver has an enormous solar array where they actually collect a lot of energy, and it runs most of the federal buildings in Denver, right?
Well, it's on the Denver Federal Center. It's a very large array. It's 1 megawatt. It's producing about 6 or 8% more than it was expected to produce, and it contributes about just around 5% of the total energy needs of the Denver Federal Center. But the Denver Federal Center is huge, 40-some-odd
right.
buildings, many acres in Lakewood. We also have a solar roof that's integrated into the solar roofing panel in Waltham, Massachusetts, that contributes 50% of the electricity of the building. And you can see that on a website. I actually looked at it one day to show somebody. It had several inches of snow on top and was still producing electricity.
Wow.
We have another array that we just put up in a building in Sacramento that is, again, contributing a considerable amount to a building in Sacramento. And we're just looking at every opportunity where we can incorporate renewable energy generation. We're doing a study right now with the Lawrence Berkeley National Labs on installing some wind generation capability on the border stations, the land ports of entry, both in the south and the north. And that seems to have a considerable amount of potential because, unlike photovoltaic, wind blows at night, too, so that you get sort of this round-the-clock kind of electrical generation.
You mentioned that we had to sort of wait for the technology to catch up with what it is everybody's trying to do, but did we also have to wait for a change in the mindset and to make this a top-of-mind priority for everybody?
There was a fun article in the New York Times this weekend with Felix Rohatyn, and he said that it was very hard to make infrastructure sexy. Well, I think what's happened is infrastructure is now sexy.
Yeah, you only need one bridge to collapse, or you need one person to open that bill, and you can figure out exactly where the priorities lie.
Well, I think what we don't realize is just how much money potentially we can save by both changing behavior and by investing in our existing buildings.
And given that the price of oil has come down so much, does that sort of, there was a lot of concern, I know, particularly among green people, but there was a lot of concern that, you know, this would sort of pull the wind out of the sails of a lot of the initiatives, a lot of the, you know, to improve. How's it looking for federal initiatives?
The Energy Independence and Security Act set some really tough goals for us. We did 30% energy reduction over 30 years. Now we have to do 30% energy reduction on the same portfolio over just 10 years. And for the first time, we're looking at the reduction in fossil fuel energy. And that's really not very associated with the price of oil. I mean, most of the fossil fuels we're talking about is coal-fired electrical plants, things like that. And so we're trying to reduce that area. I'd say, you know, the price of oil is very closely aligned to heating oil in New England, but for the rest of the country, it's a relatively minor thing, and oil is more associated with the transportation industry than the building industry. Obviously, that's very true in the Department of Defense and elsewhere. But the focus seems to be that we need to do this for the larger goals of making sure that we invest in our existing infrastructure and we preserve it for future generations, as well as focus on making those wise financial investments that will be good for the short run and good for the long run.
And making those investments and making the progress that you've made, GSA can't really do it all by yourself. I mean, you work with other agencies. Do you have special contracts, people coming in, engineers? How does that work?
Well, about 96% of the work that GSA does, we do through the private sector. We have a lot of alliances with various vendors in many, many different industries, whether it's design, construction, building management, delivery, and we work also with associations like the Building Managers and Owners and Managers Association, with IFMA, with the Association of General Contractors, and all of these areas to try and have a good cross-fertilization of what we're doing in the government, how it affects the private sector, and how the private sector can help us streamline our processes inside the government and get a better value for the citizens of the United States. And the other piece of that is there are several really active interagency groups that GSA participates in. There's the Interagency Task Force on Energy Management, the Interagency Sustainability Working Group. The Office of the Federal Environmental Executive has interagency groups on a number of different issues, including, for example, improving the electrical consumption performance of the computers we put in the buildings. And all of these things, it really helps. The more the federal government works together, the more we can be more effective within the federal government, but also influence and let the information flow out into the commercial sector so that maybe these ideas are being adopted elsewhere. And we're seeing that happening in the commercial sector as well. The landlords that we're working with have delivered as many LEED-rated buildings into our inventory that are owned privately as we have that are owned publicly. So it is happening both in the commercial sector and in the government sector.
And we know that agencies such as GSA and EPA and the Energy Department get this. Do other agencies get it as well?
Yes. It's the activity across the government, in the Department of Veterans Affairs, in the Department of Transportation, in the Department of State. And the Department of State has a tremendous program on greening all of their embassies in foreign lands, where sometimes it can be not just an issue of money and common sense about energy production, but also an issue about security for the people in the embassy. So they've got a tremendous program. The Department of Justice has gotten the first, if you can imagine this, LEED-rated federal prison.
Wow.
So, it is an absolute across-the-government initiative.